Holy Father, we give you thanks for Sarah, and I know you've prepared her already. I pray, O God, that your words in her mouth will be filled with power. You promised that your word would not fall to the earth empty, but it will prosper in that to which you have sent it. Send your word to us through Sarah tonight, and be glorified. Amen.
Amen. We always need prayer. Good evening, everyone. So, Acts chapter 10. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 10, it's a passage I hadn't really spent much time in before, but this week my eyes have been opened quite substantially, and it's a bit of a game changer. You know, the crucifixion of Jesus, number one, obviously, and the resurrection, we put them together. You know, that's number one, that's a game changer for us. You know, the second game changer, I think, is Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming. Absolute game changer. The third one is Acts chapter 10. I ate my bacon sandwich with joy in my heart because of Acts chapter 10. Some of you men can come to church today. You can eat a bacon sandwich, you can come to a men's breakfast, eat a bacon sandwich, uncircumcised, and come to church because of Acts chapter 10. I think Acts chapter 10 is a game changer. Would you not agree? I think it's important in life. Sorry if you're a vegetarian or a vegan today. I mean, Acts chapter 10. You know, we looked at Saul's conversion a couple of weeks ago and how that changed the course of history for Jews. And when you read Acts chapter 10, it is changing the course of history for you and for me. If Acts chapter 10 didn't happen, you and I would not be sitting here today praising Jesus in the freedom that we have. And so Acts chapter 10 is a game changer. You see, Peter, been with Jesus 3 years, seen the crucifixion, experienced the resurrection, saw the ascension, lived with Jesus all those years. He's a Jew. And he's still operating up until Acts chapter 10 as a Jew. He's still actually doing all the customs that a Jew would need to be doing. He's observing the law. Yes, he believes in Jesus and the resurrection, but he still is under the law. He still operates within the law. And something dramatic has to happen. And so Jesus, through a vision, speaks to Peter. And so at the beginning of Acts chapter 10, Peter is going to pray. He's at the house of Simon the Tanner, and he's hungry. But in preparation for his meal, he goes up onto the rooftop and prays. And as he's praying, which is his custom, probably at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 12 o'clock, which is the custom of Jews, he went into a trance and Jesus spoke to him. And he saw this vision, and he saw the vision of animals and birds and reptiles. But these animals were unclean. He couldn't touch these animals. He couldn't be anywhere near these animals. And God says to him, Jesus says to him, Peter, get up, kill them and eat. And Peter's like, oh my gosh, what have I just taken? What have I just experienced? I can't touch that. It's unclean. I can't go anywhere near that. And God says, don't call anything unclean that I've told that is clean. And Peter has this battle, and we'll look at the battle in a little while. But again, God says, kill it, eat it, you can touch it. No, I can't. All my life, I have lived by the law. I can't do that. And a third time he does it. And he says, you can kill this, you can eat this. Nothing is unclean anymore. There is freedom. And Cornelius, who we'll look at as well, he also has a vision. And he has a vision from God, and he has to send someone to Peter and say, I need Peter to come and speak to me. I need Peter to come and preach to me. I need Peter to come and tell me what this is all about. And so the first half of chapter 10 is God preparing the way. It's the vision of the food so that we can be free. And it's Cornelius, a Gentile, a Roman centurion, is in need of Peter. And it's like never the twain should meet. But what happens through Jesus? An amazing experience. So let's pick it up in verse 24, please, Alex.
Acts 10, 25 to 44. And if you've got the Pew Bibles, it should be on page 1104. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea.' So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on those who heard the message. This is the word of God.
Thank you. This isn't some little spat that's just happened between the Jews and the Gentiles. They hate each other. They're enemies. They can't stand being near each other. They will go completely out of their way to not have anything to do with each other. A commentator called William Barclay says that a Jew would pray in the morning and would stand up and say, "Thank you, God, that I am not like a slave, a Gentile, or a woman So a Gentile is in the same league as a woman, which were down there at this point. But the Gentiles were just as bad, by the way. So they would call them pig worshippers because they obviously did not eat pork. And so there was this hatred. There was a barrier between the Gentiles and the Jews. And something big needed to happen to bring that barrier down. When something needs to happen like that, God calls on exceptional people. People that are listening to God. People that want to do something for God. And we're going to see in this chapter how when our hearts are to do something for God, when we want to see God's kingdom come in amazing ways, how that can happen. We have a devoted Jew. Peter was a preacher. He was an apostle. He's been with Jesus. He's spirit-filled. And yet, he's still doing something wrong. He's still treating Gentiles differently to maybe how God sees them. And then we have Cornelius. Now, he's not like a normal Gentile, actually. Cornelius is a respected man. The Jews respect him. He's devoted to God. He prays. He gives to the poor. So he's not in the same league as the other Gentiles, but he's still a Gentile. And unless something dramatic happens, Paul would never have come across Cornelius. So how do we get the gospel to the Gentiles? How do we break down barriers that we are seeing here? How can we learn as individuals and as a church community how to be a game changer for the kingdom of God? How do we know how to listen to God and be guided by God? How do we know how to treat people and act with people who are completely different from us? How do we go about changing practices, traditions, rituals that we believe are from God, but yet maybe are hindering people coming to know him? How do we show God's love to everyone? How do we make God's name available to everyone? Chapter 10 tells us. And so I'm going to tell you four simple things of how to be a game changer for God. You up for it? Yep, good. Four simple things. They all begin with the letter P. You know, it's been a long day. I need you to be able to carry something home with you tonight. So four P's on how you and this church and I can be a game changer for God. Firstly, God prepares the way. God prepares the path. God was preparing both Cornelius in Caesarea, 40 miles from Joppa, where Peter was. But he was preparing both of them to be part of this game-changing situation. Peter, he had this vision. He had this vision of this sheep being dropped down and God telling him to do something that he has never done before. And he had a tough time. He was praying, but he had a tough time knowing if this was from God. You know, when God speaks to us, don't we find it tough? Is that really God speaking to us? Sometimes it's really difficult to know the voice of God. Even the most profound, devout, Holy Spirit-filled person sometimes has difficulty knowing if that is from God, especially when it goes against what you've been doing for all of your life, which was the case for Peter. And so he says to God, no, surely not, God. Surely not. And God says again, yes, this is what I want you to do. And Peter has this battle. Because even though God is preparing the ground, it's not easy. You want to be a game changer for God, it's not easy. But God prepares the way. He was preparing Peter's heart. Cornelius, he had a vision. He had a vision of Peter. He had a vision of being of Peter coming to him and explaining the gospel. God was preparing Cornelius's heart. But not just Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion of an Italian regiment, and he was preparing his soldier because his soldier had to go and get Peter. The soldier was a Gentile going into a Jewish home. That wasn't acceptable. His servants that also went with the soldier, they had to be prepared. And if you read further into the text, the family were being prepared, his friends were being prepared, his neighbours were being prepared, because when Peter comes back, they're all gathered waiting for him. You see, when God does a movement, when God changes a situation, he puts everything in place. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to try. God aligns everything into place. When God is going to do a movement, everything in place. That doesn't mean to say it's easy. Doesn't mean to say there's not going to be challenges. Of course there was challenges. But everything is in place because God has prepared the way. In the last couple of weeks, I've been looking into something. And I can't deny that things haven't lined up. You know when God is working, when things just line up, when you're committed to him and people speak and things happen, that's God. So the first thing, if you want to be a game changer for God, is you've got to allow God to prepare the way. The second one is prayer. Prayer is the key for preparation. Peter was praying. Peter was on the rooftop praying. We know Peter was a man of prayer. He goes to the temple at 3 o'clock. He was going to pray. Peter was a man of prayer. Game-changing situations don't happen. The course of history doesn't change in people's lives unless people are praying. Paul Wallace will agree with me, won't you, Paul? Okay? Revival situations don't happen unless you've got a group of people praying earnestly for that situation. Here we see in this life-changing chapter, two people praying. Peter is praying on the rooftop, in the temple, in people's homes. At certain times, Peter was praying. But Cornelius was also praying. And when the angel came to Cornelius, he said, God has heard your prayers. Your prayers have become a memorial before God. When Peter comes back, he talks about prayer. All the way through this chapter, you get this undertone of prayer. Game-changing, life-changing situations do not happen unless we pray, unless we seek God. And when we pray and when we seek God individually, but corporately as well, things start to happen. Nothing significant happens without prayer. But prayer is not just us speaking. In both of these situations, something comes back. We so often go into the prayer room, we pray to God, and then we walk away. We sit on the edge of the bed, we pray, we go to sleep. We pray in church, and then we leave church. And so often it's a one-way conversation. But in these two incidences of prayer, God speaks back. God gives visions. Both of them received a vision after they were praying. Prayer has to be a two-way conversation. Don't be too keen to run away when you've prayed. Stay in that atmosphere of prayer and ready for God to talk. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to give you visions every time you pray. That's not how he works all the time. But he may do. You may hear the voice of God. Some people do. You may just feel something. That's God speaking to you. But it has to be a two-way conversation. So for you to be a game changer in the course of the kingdom of God, you've got to allow God to prepare your hearts and the people's hearts. Allow God to prepare situations. You've got to be praying. And then the third one is you have to preach Christ. You have to preach Christ. What does Peter do when he gets into that room? Now, Peter is a preacher. He must have loved it. He arrives at Cornelius' house. They're all waiting for him. They're all expectant of him. And what an audience. People prepared to hear what you have to say. They've been waiting for him. You can imagine Cornelius looking out of the door. Are they coming back here? Are they coming back? Yeah, they're coming. They're coming. And as soon as he comes in, they're there, ready to hear what Peter has to say. And Peter preaches Christ. But the first thing that Peter does, apart from preaching Christ and preaching the resurrection, is he says, my eyes have been opened. He doesn't use that language, but if he was speaking like me, that's what he would say. I can see things in a completely different way. I've never been able to see like I am seeing now. Like the same way when the scales from Paul's eyes went, so too Peter is experiencing the same thing. He's never seen a Gentile in this light before. Even though he was a good man and he's been with Jesus, he's never seen a Gentile in this light before. And so before him, he has Gentiles waiting for him to preach. And he says, my gosh, God has no favorites. God loves us all. Jesus is for everyone. It's kind of like there's a tone of like repentance here. Like, oh my gosh, why haven't I seen this before? But it's God is for everyone. There are no favorites. This is really key in what we're witnessing in the world at the moment. When I was reading this, you know, God is for everyone. God loves everyone. Peter says, God, Jesus loves us all. Christ died for all. They were his words. He can actually say that for all. For all who believe in Christ are forgiven. The great commission that Peter received, and which is why he says to Cornelius, I've been told to preach about this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, not just the Jewish world, into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, Peter delivered the same message. He delivered this message not so long ago at Pentecost. He delivers the same message. The message doesn't change. If you want a game-changing situation, Christ doesn't change. The resurrection of Christ doesn't change. The delivery of it does. He wouldn't have delivered that message in the same way to the Jews. But he's delivering it to Gentiles, and so the way that he speaks is different. The tone that he maybe uses is different. He's in a Gentile home, for goodness sake. The message doesn't change. The delivery of it does. If we want to see game-changing situations, if we want to see the kingdom of God come into people's lives, we preach the same message. Jesus loves everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Everyone can receive forgiveness. So that's the third P. So you've got preparation, you've got prayer, you've got preach Christ. That doesn't mean to say that you have to preach Jesus up from a platform. Okay? It means just talking about Jesus. But Jesus is the key. And then the fourth P, if you want to see game-changing situations in your life, Pentecost has to happen. Pentecost has to happen. Paul likes this. This is good. Okay. Some years ago, Peter gets the message. He preaches. 3,000 people on one day were saved. When he was preaching the message, the same message that he's just preached in this household, to Cornelius' household, he preaches Christ crucified. He preaches Christ resurrected. He preaches the Spirit. And 3,000 people came to Christ that day. Peter, while he was still speaking to Cornelius, saw the Spirit fall. He didn't even get to the end of his message. What an amazing thing for a preacher to be preaching away and you see the Holy Spirit fall. You don't need none of this, you know, drumming up of emotion and all that. You just preach the gospel, you see the Holy Spirit fall, and he saw all. It says everyone in that household received the Holy Spirit that day. They started speaking in tongues, a sign of the Holy Spirit, and praising God. You have to have a Pentecost. You have to have the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. Cornelius was a devout man. He was a good man. He loved and worshipped God. He believed in God. He prayed regularly. He gave money to charity. But he was missing something vital, which is why he needed Peter to go and see him. And what he was missing was this intimate relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit indwelling in his life. And that day when Peter preached Jesus, the Holy Spirit came. And Cornelius and the people in that household were never the same again. You have to have a Pentecost. And then Luke, the writer of Acts, says, the circumcised believers, making a real, very noticeable, the circumcised believers were astonished that the Gentiles had the Holy Spirit. You see, Peter had got it. You know, it took him a while. He had a little battle with God. But there will always be people that don't get the message. As a leader, if you're a leader in here, you know, sometimes you're given the vision, sometimes you're given from God something profound. And trying to then deliver that is really hard. Peter's just delivered it, and there's still people that have seen this, witnessed it, and they're astonished that the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit in the same way as the Jews did. What an amazing thing. You have to have the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. God left the Holy Spirit on this earth so that we could do what we needed to do for God on our own. And over the numerous weeks that we've been listening, you know, last week when we heard about the persecuted church, you couldn't do that without a Pentecost inside you. You couldn't do that without the Holy Spirit living inside you. You could not be a Christian in a persecuted world if you didn't have the Holy Spirit inside you. No matter how much you prayed and devoted yourself to God, you have to have the living God, the same power we sung about. You have to have that living inside you to be a game changer, to be a witness for God. And so what about us in our application? We may have barriers in our lives that stop us doing what God wants us to do. We may have prejudices in our lives. We all do. I wonder if we need the eyes like Peter, those scales to fall, so that we see everyone how God sees them. Every single person that we come into contact with, God loves, Jesus died for, and Jesus can forgive. What barriers are in our lives that stop us being a game changer for God? What prejudices do we hold? Peter goes on to write in his letter, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Be prepared to speak. He knew he had to go to the house of Cornelius, and then he was ready to give a reason. Always be ready to give a reason. Why? Because that means that God has already prepared that person's heart. If someone asks you for a reason for the hope that lies within you, they've noticed something. They've got questions. That's why Alpha is amazing. That's why Alpha is so good. Because God has prepared their hearts and they ask questions. And you can give an answer and a reason for the hope that lies within you. Be prepared. When the ground is good, fertile ground, it's ready. Be ready to give a reason. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Pray. Our prayer meetings, they should be better attended than they are. Now, there's all different reasons for that, why people can't come to prayer meetings. But if we want to be a game-changing church, which we are, but we can be better, we can be bolder, we can be more courageous, we need to be praying together. Pray on your own as well, and pray listening to God. And then this evening, some of you may be a devout Christian. You may pray. You may read your Bible. You may give well to the church. But there's something lacking. You haven't had the mini Pentecost that Cornelius and his friends and family had. So we're just going to spend some time praying and responding to God. The worship band are going to come up. It was a short sermon, so we've got time to respond. So we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I'm going to guide us in that. We're going to sing, and we're going to see what God has to say to us and see what God wants us to really maybe pray into. The prayer team are going to be out the front ready as well. If people want to come forward and receive prayer, then they will be there as well. But we're going to do a corporate response. We're going to sing, but there'll be prayer ministry available if you want specific, or if God speaks to you specifically and you would like someone to pray over you.